Chokecherry gripped Sage Root by the hand and pulled her down and into the amber-lit insides of Chokecherry's lodge.
Come on, sit.
Sage Root went where Chokecherry pointed, dropping herself onto a roll of elkhide, propping her back on one of the willow backrests. Little Dancer settled beside her, staring around, one hand tucked reassuringly in hers. Chokecherry set about rolling up the bottoms of the lodge to allow the breeze to blow through. Here and there, parfleshes lay about the perimeter, and one of Chokecherry's old dogs stared at her from the side. Even the dogs looked worn these days. Their gaunt sides had gone slat-ribbed. The barking and howling normal to the village pack seemed subdued, but then so many of the pups had been clunked in the head and thrown into the stew that she couldn't blame them. The people had grown irritable. Fighting dogs pushed them past the tolerance point. Chokecherry bent to the fire pit, stirring the ashes, fanning a coal alive as she fed it shredded sage bark brush, adding bits of cottonwood branch until she had a crackling blaze. Then she piled rocks to heat in the center, digging ornately carved spoon bowls out of a parflesh.
Now tell me, did you sit there all night looking at those sticks?
Sage Root closed her eyes, nodding. Chokecherry hunched over, staring into her eyes.
Sage Root, listen to me. You're doing this to yourself. Do you understand?
For a moment, Sage Root let herself surrender to those warm brown depths, let herself believe the sincerity she saw there. Chokecherry caught that flicker of acknowledgement and smiled warmly.
Now you've got to pull yourself together and think. Heavy Beaver wants you to stare at those sticks. He wants you to feel them in your very soul. If you let yourself do that, if you let yourself play into his hands, you'll will yourself to die.
But he's a spirit dreamer.
I don't believe that. And I don't think you do either. After you let your imagination play with your head all night, you're not sure. That's the part of you he's betting on, preying on like some sort of parasite. Sage Root, look at me. He's got his claws into you. Are you going to let him wiggle in the rest of the way?
Sage Root dropped her head in her hands, feeling her son's grip tightening on her skirt.
I don't know.
The other night, you chose to eat the meat. You knew he'd do this, yet you still chose. Why?
Because I had to. It was the right thing to do. I don't know. I felt so strong. I thought I could stand up to him, that it would be all right.
And then?
Then I came back to the lodge last night with a load of dried meat. And I looked over, and I saw the sticks. And it all became real. He's going to kill me. He's always hated me. I felt the power of that hate. I mean, it's a powerful thing, and it's all turned against me.
He still can't kill you, unless you let him.
But I...
You're as strong now as you were when you made the decision to eat the meat. You acted right then. Why can't you accept that now? Why can't you walk out and stare him in the eye?
I didn't know how it would wear on me. I feel lost, Chokecherry. I don't know anymore.
I see. That's it, isn't it? You don't know.
What if he's right?
That's the real problem. You've only got his word that he's a spirit dreamer. Blood and tears, woman, you've got to believe he's a liar. That's your only hope. The only hope for the people. What if you die, huh? Think of it. If you kill yourself worrying about his foul sticks, what then? You think he'll be a better person for it? Or will he turn his power on someone else?
Horrified, Sage Root stared into Chokecherry's eyes.
That's right. After you, who's next?
I didn't want this. All I wanted was to feed my child.
I know, but it's you. Maybe the spirits chose, huh?
Why is this happening?
It's the drought. The fact that people are splintering into so many little groups just to survive. I don't know. Everything started going wrong in my father's time. That's when the white crane drove us south, drove us to come here. The Cut Hair people fought to keep this land. Then one of their war chiefs captured a young girl, fell in love with her, and married her. He made peace, stopped the fighting with the understanding that we wouldn't go further south. He bound us by our honor. The Anita keep the good hunting grounds in the Buffalo Mountains because they know the trails up there. And we got the Moon River so far as the confluence with the Sand River to the east. Only there isn't enough to feed us all. But once, oh yes, once there were huge camps of the people stretching as far as the eye could see.
You said you'd tell me about spirit power.
Oh, yes, I did, didn't I? Well, what do you want to know?
Everything!
Everything?
Yes. I want to be a spirit dreamer when I grow up and get a name. Then Heavy Beaver will never bother Mother again.
Why, son? Why would you be a spirit dreamer?
Because then I could put sticks out and kill Heavy Beaver.
Sage Root closed her eyes and shook her head.
No. No, you'll never do that. I forbid it.
She could feel Choke Cherry's eyes on her.
Girl, if the boy...
I said no. I don't want my son to ever make anyone feel the way I do now. Do you understand? This is evil.
Choke Cherry shifted uneasily, reaching for her hearth sticks. They were nothing more than two willow stems tied in the middle. She could separate the ends to make tongs with which to pick up boiling stones. This she now did, plucking the hot rocks from the center of the fire, dropping them into the stew bag where it hung from a tripod.
Come on, girl. You're upset. You haven't eaten and you haven't slept. The mind gets funny when it's like that.
Sage Root shook her head, turning hollow eyes on Choke Cherry as the old woman stirred the stew.
No. I don't want anything to do with spirit power. It's ruining my life. I won't have my son ruining others.
Choke Cherry bit her lips, testing the temperature of the stew before she scooped bowls full.
You know, when there are so few of us, what are you going to do if your son, who hears antelope spirits talking in the night, is a true dreamer? What are you going to do if he can dance with fire and sing the stars?
Not my son. Not ever.
What the...
Choke Cherry ducked her head around the flap, looking to see what caused the commotion. Sage Root ducked after her from the lodge. People hurried toward the bluff back of the camp. Caught in the rush, she followed, aware of Little Dancer clinging to her skirt. A knot of bodies obscured her view as she passed the birthing lodge, empty now. A fist closed on her heart. Makes Fun burst from the crowd, her eyes locked with Sage Root's for the briefest second.
Dancing Doll!
She clawed at her own face. Choke Cherry placed a restraining hand on her arm.
Don't!
Sage Root twisted loose, stumbling forward to peer over Wakalot Woman's shoulder. Dancing Doe lay face down on the ground, where black blowflies circled it. The keen point of a hunting dart protruded from her back. The dart's shaft had snapped when it took her weight. The fletching stuck out from under the coagulated pool of red beneath her. Two elk stood from where he'd inspected the body with his one good eye.
She ran onto the dart. She knew Long Runner wouldn't come back. She died on his dart.
Heavy Beaver cursed her, too.
The time has come to stop this. Bad things are loose. Horrible things.
Two elks stalked off for Heavy Beaver's lodge. Sage Root didn't hear as the people bolted for their lodges and weapons. She hardly realized Little Dancer remained beside her, frightened hands clutched in her dress. She only stared, horrified, into her dead friend's accusing face as the flies walked across the drying eyes.
You have your wish. I know you've disliked the short buffalo people. Now you will go back to the Red Hand.
The Red Hand fed my power. These numb-brained buffalo chasers have no more sense than their ancestors who slaughtered the mammoth. I suppose they will do the same with the buffalo. Kill them off to the last one and then starve themselves.
Unless I can change the spiral.
I hope you can. I miss the mammoth. Since the last one died, I've missed the majesty their souls added to the circles.
Then conserve yourself, brother. When the time comes, if the boy lives, he will need your power. We must do this right. To change the spiral of the Wise One above isn't done lightly. The world is changing. The boy might make a difference, if we don't kill him in the process.
Two Smoke sat on the rotten trunk of a blown-down cottonwood, watching the strands of the Moon River wind ever eastward. The restlessness in his bruised soul wouldn't let him sleep. He'd left in the night to climb up on the terrace and watch the coming of the new day. Despite the reddening of the skies and brilliant fires of Father Sun, the chill in his soul didn't ease. For hours he'd collected grass seeds, slowly picking the green umbels apart, letting the chaff blow away on the dry morning breeze, and mashing the little seeds between his teeth. Grass went to fruit early, except the seeds were so small. For years he'd wondered at the process, picking grasses, looking at them, eating the leaves and stems and seeds. The truth of the matter couldn't be denied. The Wise One above had made man different from his buffalo children. People couldn't eat grass and live. With great care, Two Smokes had dissected his own droppings, finding leaves and seeds and stems undigested. He simply couldn't shake the feeling that he'd missed something. Grass was everywhere. Buffalo ate grass. Then people ate buffalo, which weren't always everywhere. If people could only cut buffalo out of the process and eat the grass themselves, no one need ever hunger again. The blackness inside stole his chain of thought, leaving him to shiver in the hot sunlight. Anxiously, he stared back upriver toward where the camp waited in ominous silence. Sage Root had been cursed by their mediocre spirit man. He shook his head. Compared to White Calf, Cut Feather, or Clear Water, Heavy Beaver couldn't make smoke rise from a hot fire. And Sage Root would die without knowing the difference. He'd seen the fear, the resignation in her eyes. She believed she would die.
And what then for Two Smokes? Stay and be beaten and raped? How long until they kill me too? How long until they declare the wolf bundle to be evil and burn it?
But Little Dancer was his responsibility. He stood up and unrolled his special pouch. One by one, he placed his grass stems into the special holes punched in the hide. Unrolled, the whole thing measured almost 2 arms in length. In it, he had grasses from everywhere. Giant wild rye, wheatgrass, needle and thread grass, buffalo grass, steppe bluegrass, and more. He rolled the long strip of leather into a compact tube and slipped it behind his belt. Hobbling along, he stared dully forward, knowing trouble waited. His crushed leg had begun to ache again. Not for years had it caused him so much torment. The knee had never worked right after the buffalo had stepped on it. Better stiff, however, than maimed so badly he couldn't move, or had to be left behind to starve and die of exposure. Nothing seemed amiss as he passed through the trees. The camp looked deserted. But no, a knot of people had collected behind the birthing lodge. Two Smokes winced, feeling the dread. Some new misery had befallen them. His stomach twisted like a snake, unable to shed its skin. He wavered, half wishing he could run. At that moment, the sky seemed to darken, as if his vision blurred and grayed. Two Smokes shook his head, trying to free himself of the terrible fear that grasped at his heart. He wheeled, stumping toward Sage Root's lodge.
The wolf bundle!
Blood Bear tensed as people scrambled to their feet, running to investigate. Even the sleeping dogs followed, curious about their master's excitement. The camp lay open before him. Moving with all the sound of smoke over polished granite, Blood Bear darted forward, heart thudding in his chest. By his very audacity, honor would be his. This act, this daylight invasion of the Short Buffalo people, would bring him praise and stature as a cunning and powerful man. Without hesitation, he ripped the lodge cover back and ducked inside. Three rolls of bedding lay before him. The one in front drew his attention. A compact parflesh lay on a grass mat behind the head of that first bed. The bag had been manufactured with outstanding skill. The seams had been stitched so tightly, one could almost believe the bag waterproof. The perfectly tanned leather gleamed white, accenting the brilliant colors of the decoration. Effigies of Wolf, of the White Hide, and all the other myths of the Red Hand covered each side. Almost trembling, Bloodbear dropped to his knees to fumble the laces open with thick fingers. The inside contained a beautifully tanned wolf hide. This Bloodbear lifted free, unwrapping the silky skin to expose the wolf bundle. Its sides somewhat scuffed, but familiar nonetheless.
The spirit of the Red Hand. I've won. No one will stand against me now. I am the leader of my people.
Trembling with excitement, he could barely control his hands as he swiftly repacked the parflesh. In a final gesture, he kicked ashes over the inside of the lodge, grabbing up a pack full of dried meat and slinging it over his shoulder. The wolf bundle pressed to his chest, he reached for his otlatl and darts and ducked through the door.
Bloodbear!
Off guard, Bloodbear turned with the speed of a trapped lynx. Instinctively, his right arm snapped back, ready to launch a deadly dart even before he recognized the anguished face of Two Smokes.
Die, Bardash!
Two Smokes would have died right there, but for the cumbersome pack of dried antelope meat that bumped Bloodbear's elbow during the release. The dart hissed harmlessly over him to skewer the lodge behind. Two Smokes crabbed away from Bloodbear as he settled a second dart in the hooked end of his otlatl.
Anita!
An old man, white-haired, with frightened eyes, rounded a lodge, pulling up short, mouth dropping open to scream. Old legs turned rubbery as he sank to his knees and tumbled sideways. Looking back, Bloodbear saw Two Smokes had disappeared. Heart racing, Bloodbear leapt over a smoking fire pit. Hindered by the flopping weight, he discarded the heavy meat pack to bounce in the dust behind him. With the wolf bundle clamped to his chest, he dashed with all his might. He forced his driven body up the incline to the bluff above. He slowed, catching his second wind. Looking back, he saw no pursuers boiled after him. From his vantage, he could see the people milling around the body of the old man, pointing at his skylined figure. Grinning to himself, he hugged the wolf bundle close and began trotting across the broad terrace. Far to the northwest, the cool slopes of the Buffalo Mountains rose like a beacon.
The wolf bundle... gone!
The place of honor at the head of Two Smokes' smoldering bedding held the barest imprint of the parflesh in the hard dirt. The emptiness swelled into a gaping hole in Little Dancer's heart and soul. Blackness welled around the edges of his conscience. First Heavy Beaver's desecration, now this.
No! This isn't... can't be...
Two Smokes ducked out of Three Toes Lodge, a long dart in his hand.
Bloodbear!
Little Dancer lowered himself to the ground, one hand grasping a lodge pole. All his strength gone, he simply stared at the wreckage of his lodge. He barely realized when Two Smokes settled next to him, the dart spinning in his fingers.
After all these years, I wonder how he found me here. Even the people know he's been roaming the country. The Red Hand exiled him after I left with Clearwater and the wolf bundle.
It's because of Heavy Beaver. He threw the wolf bundle into the dark that night. I felt it. The power changed. The world's falling apart. Everything shifted. Maybe the wolf bundle wanted to go back where people would care for it.
I cared for it. I loved it, kept it.
Heavy Beaver abused it. It couldn't trust you.
As soon as he said it, he regretted the words. He looked up hesitantly to see tears creeping down Two Smokes' face. In sympathy, he reached a thin arm around the Berdash's waist and hugged him tight.
It's not your fault, Two Smokes, it's not.
Yes, it is. All my fault. From the very beginning.
Some intuition made Little Dancer turn. His mother stood there, hair out of place and blowing in straggles in the afternoon breeze. Her hollow eyes barely registered the mess. Heart pounding, he stared up at her. The expression on her face belonged to a stranger. She looked through him, hands clenching and releasing spasmodically. The corners of her lips quivered as if she might speak. Then she turned, ducking listlessly into the lodge, and stamped out the smoldering coals, tears like silver in her eyes. Little Dancer hesitated, fearing the wild look, afraid to call after her. He looked out past the milling people who stood over Two Elk's body.
Mother?
Two sticks remained. The people milled in confusion and disbelief as they hovered around Two Elk's body. Heavy Beaver stepped out of his lodge, dressed in his finest.
My people, I've heard from the spirits. Even as we speak, the world is turning, waiting. What has been wrought this day? Dancing Doe has seen the error of her ways. The Anita have reclaimed their evil that lay like a festering sore to ooze its pus into our society.
He grinned at the horrified look on Two Smoke's face where he stared up.
Your day is coming, enemy freak. After Sage Root, I'll drive your polluting presence from the people. This is our last warning. Two Elks, so wise, so warm, has paid with his life. The final choice is upon us. We must purify ourselves of the ancient evils. We must take a new way for ourselves, or the spirit world will turn its back on us for good. The evil ones know themselves. Within days, the power I call on will banish them from our midst.
Throws Rocks lifted his fist to wave it while he danced. Fire at Night jumped, prancing on light feet.
Heavy Beaver brings us a new way. With his power, the buffalo will return.
Heavy Beaver saw Choke Cherry start to open her mouth.
The rest of you, Two Elks is dead. Do none of you mourn the loss of this great man? Do you all just stand here? Go! Go out and find Sage to clean his body. Bring your best to honor him.
Sleeping Fur stared around nervously.
And the Anita? Are there more?
Only one came to reclaim the cursed object.
Heavy Beaver narrowed an eye at Two Smokes and the soiled child who clung to his side. Hatred filled the boy's eyes. Well, that could be beaten out of him. He was still young enough to train in the proper ways. The people began to split up, walking somberly to their lodges.
What of Dancing Doe?
Heavy Beaver closed his eyes, adopting a pained expression.
I would have you, Choke Cherry, and Sage Root, see to her. Take her up on the ridge behind the village. Surely, with the help of the Berdash and the boy, the two of you can get her up there.
And you'll sing for her?
I think sometimes you don't believe I have power. Why do you want me to sing for her?
I'm thinking of her family. Most are with Whitefoot's band. They'd want someone to sing for her.
I'll sing. And you'll see my power within days, old woman. And maybe it will ease the pollution she brought to the people.
You know, boy, I can't help but wonder where the real pollution lies.
Do you want me to sing for her or not? Your words make it very difficult.
Chokecherry bit off her retort and walked over to Sage Root's lodge, muttering under her breath. Heavy Beaver stood, arms crossed, seeing the startled look on Sage Root's face. Frantic eyes turned in his direction, reflecting a loathing for what he'd asked her to do. Chokecherry's arms waved in appeal, and Sage Root finally nodded, getting to her feet. Heavy Beaver watched as they proceeded behind the birthing lodge. Then, looking surreptitiously about, he slipped silently into Sage Root's lodge. From his pouch, he took dried leaves, crumbling them between his fingers and dropping them into the stew in her horn bowl. Casting a quick glance about, Heavy Beaver slipped out and returned to his lodge. The Datura would do what threats couldn't. Power worked many ways, especially in the victim's mind. Chokecherry lowered herself next to Makes Fun, where she painted white clay on a staked antelope hide. Above, on the edge of the terrace, Heavy Beaver danced about Dancing Doe's body, At least the story would get back to Dancing Doe's relations that someone had cared. Chokecherry rubbed at the bloodstains where Dancing Doe's body had leaked on the hem of her dress.
Nice painting. That's for two elks?
Mixfun nodded, stirring the pigment in the horn bowl.
His children all moved away with Two Stones Band. Who else would do it? A man as good and wise as he should rise to the star web looking his best. We can't have him meet the wise one above looking like a starving coyote.
No. I have a beaded necklace. I'll get it for him.
How's Sage Root?
Not well.
Mixfun rubbed a forearm across her sweaty forehead.
You think it's serious?
Of course it's serious. Heavy Beaver's killing her. He's doing it by preying on her one weakness. She doesn't know anything about power. She doesn't know if he's right or wrong. Once he's got her questioning herself, he's won half the battle. Worse, he's hung raven feathers off the tips of her lodge poles. Sage Root saw them and threw up. She tore them down, of course, but you should have seen her shaking. Her lodge was the only one messed up by the Anita. It's all piling up in her mind.
He's been singing in there all day. My nerves are stretched to the point where I dragged my hides out here so I couldn't hear. What a day. Dancing Doe kills herself. Anita kills two elks and steals a Bear Dash's sacred bundle. And through it all, Heavy Beaver keeps killing Sage Root.
Empty-eyed, Chokecherry stared at the far buttes where they shimmered in the sun's mirage.
And I thought my sister was trouble.
Everyone's nervous. That doesn't help either.
Chokecherry settled herself, drawing her ancient knees up to her chest.
We've got to do something. If we don't, Heavy Beaver is going to destroy us.
Us? I thought he was after Sage Root. She turned him down, you know. Refused to bet him. He's...
Bah! That's only the excuse. Like sneaking into a buffalo herd under a hide, it's misdirection. True, he's been grousing about that for years. You can see it festering in his eyes every time he looks at her. You know, I even caught him one time. He'd sneaked out after Hungry Bull and her, watching while they coupled outside of camp.
No. That's...
Rude. An understatement. But then that's the sort of man he is. He killed Dancing Doe as surely as if he'd thrown the dart himself. And destroying Sage Root is another step. You want to live in a band he controls? Hmm? What about your children? How about your son, Mouse Runner? You want him growing up hearing Heavy Beaver's talk about how women are polluting the earth? You want your daughter growing up to marry a man who's been raised to think that?
Mixfun braced hands on her knees, staring off across the valley of the Moon River.
What can we do to stop it? Black Crow's out hunting with Hungry Bull and Three Toes? I'm not sure what I can do.
Back me up.
Back you up? And if he curses you, Chokecherry? You're my aunt. I don't...
Blood and dung! Listen to you! You're half-knuckled under already. Think, girl! Heavy Beaver's just a thieving raven. He's found a bunch of mice heads sick from alkali water. Now he's hopping around, calling and squawking to keep them confused. He's got his first mouse killed and eaten. The second is frightened and running in circles. Soon as Sage Root keels over, he'll get another one. And when it's all finished, the ways of the people will be gone forever. That's right. He's trying to remake the people to fit his image of what they ought to be. And me? I'm not going to play mouse for him. I'm going to remind him that he's nothing more than a scavenging raven.
Oh, careful, Aunt. If he hears you...
Bah! Let him. He's been a festering pain for too long. Now, you going to back me up or not?
But Black Crow...
You listen to me. If you back down, you'll find yourself with less standing than a dog. You want that? To be like a beast?
Black Crow wouldn't...
No, but Heavy Beaver would. He's got problems. His mother, for one. That boy's hated strong women all his life. Look at who he married. But I've been around long enough. Buried enough husbands to tell you... After he's had a year or two to work on Black Crow, you'll be right down with the dogs as a pack animal and breeding bitch.
Blood burning, Chokecherry hoisted herself to her feet.
You think about that, sister's daughter. You think hard, because that's what Heavy Beaver's working for. Sage Root stood against him. If he breaks her or kills her, there'll be no stopping him. The people, for all that we've come unraveled in the last tens of seasons, will be no more.
She stalked off, aware of Makes Fun's eyes burning into her back. Tanager sat wrapped in a robe next to Elk Charm. The peaks rose tall, ghostly in the moonlight. Behind them, the camp of the Red Hand seemed quiet, peaceful.
I hate being in trouble.
Well, if you stay home and help your mother with chores and maybe stop beating up the boys, maybe you wouldn't be in trouble all the time.
I'll bet the elk calves are walking around. We could sneak off tomorrow morning and...
See? How are you ever going to find a husband if you never stay in camp?
Why would I want a husband, Elk Charm?
Husbands are a great help. You can't get pregnant without one. They lift heavy things like logs to make animal traps.
I don't need a trap. I sneaked up to within a foot of a deer once. I could have driven a dart right into her. And besides, babies are trouble. There's lots of things you can't do when you have a baby. You have to find someone to look after them when you go hunt. And then you have to give part of the kill to whoever looks after the baby.
Someday you'll be sneaking around out there and get caught by Short Buffalo Warrior, and he'll eat you.
Be serious! If I can sneak up on a deer, where's the stupid Short Buffalo Man who can catch me? You've heard the stories about how they stumble around in the trees. They don't know the trails. No one knows the trails like me.
Except Ramshorn and Never Sweat and Tallfur and...
But I know most of them. And by the time I'm a full woman, I'll know them all. You watch.
Why are you like that? Why are you always trying to be different from everyone else?
I don't know. It's like something in the trees whispers to me. Maybe it's like when you go with your family to collect berries and you want to go home, to be back in your lodge where you know where you are. You know that feeling? It's just that I feel the same way about being out in timber and climbing the rocks.
You ought to be a boy.
Maybe. But I don't know any boys that run as fast as I do. And I've had Snapshorn and Warmwind try and follow me. They slip off the logs and break branches and trip a lot. Not only that, I can throw rocks straighter.
You can't out-wrestle them.
No, but if I trip them first, they can't catch me.
Sage Root drank the last of the cold stew. She'd sent Little Dancer and Two Smokes up to eat with Chokecherry. She had no desire to cook anymore. She didn't want Two Smokes bustling around doing things that intruded on her thoughts. She didn't even care about the lumps of hard grease that floated in the tepid water. Something black and ominous rose from Heavy Beaver's lodge. Sage Root clapped a hand to her mouth and shook her head, blinking, feeling the icy chill in her soul. Peering fearfully up at the stars, she found no sign of the black thing.
Raven Spirit? Did Heavy Beaver promise me to raven above in return for spiritual help?
She clamped her eyes shut, experiencing the reeling sensation of lost balance. She was passing through life as if it were a dream. Images shimmered and went glassy until she couldn't trust her eyesight. Sounds seemed to become disjointed. Voices whispered out of the air. Nothing seemed real except the cold in her soul and fear.
I'm not me anymore.
And the chill ate at her, increasing with each beat of her heart. As the sun set, she'd seen the trunks of the trees waver and dance to the thump of Heavy Beaver's drum.
No, please, not that again.
She shivered uncontrollably. Every time she'd eaten or drunk, her nervous stomach pumped it back up. Sage Root sat in the rear of the lodge, fingers idly tracing the ruins of the bedroll where Hungry Bull had so tenderly held her. Here in the confines of this very lodge, she'd borne her sons. Here she'd nursed them all, hugged and loved them. Two of them had died in her lodge, their bodies cleaned and prepared to be taken and placed on a high ridge where their souls could climb to the star web. Here she'd laughed at Hungry Bull's stories, scolded him when he needed it, and smiled her love into his warm brown eyes. The lodge looked dingy and ragged, the skirts of the heavy hide cover tattered, rot brittle around the edges. As the cover had disintegrated, so had the poles been worn away as they moved from camp to camp. What had once been a grand lodge, requiring 10 dogs to transport, now could be carried by 5. Like the rest of her life, even this, her home, hung frayed and stained. She couldn't bear to look at the dirt out front. Horrified, she'd watched as Heavy Beaver had walked out and drawn a series of lines into the earth. Fear had pumped like sparks through her veins as she scrambled madly to wipe away the patterns of lines, scratching at the dirt until her fingernails bled. Then she'd huddled into a ball and sobbed until Little Dancer came to hold her. Two Smokes had picked her up and carried her inside. Now the two of them slept like a guard before the door.
Hungry Bull is far away. I'll be dead before he comes back. What then? Stop it. Gotta believe that it's a lie. Heavy Beaver can't dance fire. He can't sing the stars. He's trying to scare me, that's all. Just trying to scare me.
But how did she know? How come her stomach didn't work? Why did she ache all over? Why did she hear things, see things that weren't there? Why did she feel so cold, even in the sun?
I can't fight his power.
The chill in her soul seemed to expand. Despite herself, the old stories recited in bits and fragments in the back of her mind. Tales from the Winter Counts. They told of witches who could steal a man's soul. They told of the hero twins who brought human beings up from underground and into this world. And when it was all done, one of the brothers hit the other on the head, his blood dripping to become red jasper. The other brother had risen to the sky, becoming one with Starweb, since his people were safe from evil.
Evil. And is that returned?
Numbly, she stared at the moonlight outside. Flickers of moonbeams bent and shimmered to break into 1,000 spinning stars. Undone, Sage Root cowered and covered her head. She lay that way until her body began to float away from the earth, turning slowly in the air. She jerked at the familiar shadows of her lodge. Blinking to clear her sight, she dug frantic fingers into the singed robes to reassure herself of the firm ground. Outside, Two Smokes and Little Dancer huddled together in sleep, their shadows speckled where the moonlight shot patterns through the cottonwood leaves overhead.
I had to do it. I had to save the antelope, make it right for the people. I had to. That's all. I couldn't do anything else, and now I will die for it.
She shifted, reaching for the water skin. Only one stick remained standing. Whitecalf blinked up at the moonlight. A call had stirred her soul, left it trembling and afraid. She sat up, her old heart pumping the anxiety. Around the edges of her consciousness, the dream she'd had frayed and blew away like downy seeds from a thistle. Only the memory of haunted eyes and desperation remained. She swallowed and stared up at the stars where they twinkled through the masking moonlight. Around her, Three Toes, Hungry Bull, and Black Crow slept soundly. The night air brought the subtle perfume of sagebrush and the rich mold of earth to her nose. The fear descended. Whitecalf shook her worn hide robe off.
Come on, get up!
Hungry Bull sat up, instinctively reaching for his darts. Three Toes blinked owlishly. Black Crow squinted in the moonlight, looking around in confusion as he rolled out of his bedding.
What? It's the middle of the night.
Whitecalf was already rolling her hide.
I know. I only hope we're not too late.
Too late for what?
Whitecalf laced her rolled hide to her pack, squatting to get the tump line over her forehead.
I don't know.
But the old woman had already waddled off down the path that led to Moon River.
What now?
Three Toes crawled from the shelter of his hides and started to roll them up.
Got me. But I think we'd better find out.
You're the one who has to lead now.
Heart like a lump of punky wood, Sage Root stared at the single stick standing before Heavy Beaver's lodge. By noon, that would be gone.
I can't. I'm not strong enough.
And if you're not? What then, Sage Root? If you let him kill you, what happens to your son? To Hungry Bull?
I didn't ask for this. I just wanted to raise my child, keep my husband happy. I didn't ask for any of this. All I wanted was to see my people fed. Now I've become some sort of monster. Dancing Doe killed herself because I tried to help. If I hadn't been there...
She winced, closing her eyes to the pain as gray dawn shaded the outlines of the lodges. She stood, stepping out to look around, and froze. The bundle hung from one of the soot-stained lodge poles. Black raven feathers stuck out from a tightly packed leather pouch. She pulled the thing loose. Unable to control her shaking fingers, she ripped the hide open and dropped it as a roll of maggots spilled out over her fingers. Something dark fell and rolled to one side. She frantically wiped the maggots from her hands, shivering uncontrollably as she fought the urge to scream. Backing away, her stomach pumped again, having nothing left but sour bile. The black pad, still wiggling with white maggots, caught her eye. She recognized shredded sagebrush bark. A menstrual pad. It had to be hers. Heavy Beaver wouldn't have used it otherwise.
A piece of my soul. He's got a piece of my soul. He's won. I'm dying. I can feel it. What can I do? Where can I go? How can I save myself?
Two dark shadows passed overhead. Ravens. Tears streaked her face.
I'll give my soul to the ravens. And then what? I'll never get to Starweb. I'll never...
Dancing Doe's eyes stared up from the depths of her tortured memories. Dancing Doe had risen to the Starweb. Sage Root's teeth chattered as a soul chill wrapped around her. She didn't have long until Heavy Beaver twisted her soul from her body. Dawn, her last sunrise. Numbly, she reached inside the lodge, finding her butchering kit, the one she'd used on the antelope. She turned, forcing her back straight, catching a glimpse of Sleeping Fur as she started out of her lodge, met her eyes, and ducked hurriedly back inside. The chill in her soul deepened. Even her friends feared her now. No one would want to be seen talking to a cursed woman. One way or another, she was dead. She could let Heavy Beaver steal her soul through his spirit power, or free it herself. With careful steps, she avoided Little Dancer, where he slept in Two Smoke's arms. Perhaps he'd been too close to her and caught the edges of Heavy Beaver's curse. Another mistake on her part. She walked down to the river, following along the bank. Barely aware, she looked up at the graying skyline. Below her, a great blue heron rose to wing, wary of her presence. Even the birds avoided her. A suggestion of movement caught her attention. A huge black wolf stood on a rise, watching with knowing yellow eyes. Thick muscles rippled along the animal's lean body. The increasing light accented the sheen of its sleek coat.
Another of Heavy Beaver's creatures.
She tore her frightened gaze away.
Hungry Bull, where are you? Come back to me. Don't let me face this alone.
Why did you let Bloodbear steal me?
The wolf dreamer stirred from the illusion that surrounded the wolf bundle like a cloud.
He asked and gave of himself. Let us see what he does with power now that he's wished it.
The wolf bundle tested the fringes of Bloodbear's mind.
I see no change. He's as much a fool as ever. He mocks what sober men consider with care.
He has asked, and I have the piece he gave of himself. Am I one to deny a seeker?
You're not the one riding in his arms. Suppose I end up in the fire.
Not even Bloodbear is that stupid.
But bundles and the power in them can be killed.
Like dreams and dreamers.
The Watcher keeps his eye on the boy.
And if this goes beyond the Watcher's ability?
Little Dancer could feel fear hovering around him, like the stench of carrion. Wrongness and evil rode on the morning air. Beside him, Two Smoke sat up. Golden bars of yellow morning sunlight slanted under the rustling cottonwood leaves. Things looked bluish, tinged by the smoke from morning fires. Little Dancer rose frantically, stumbling to look about the wreckage inside the lodge. Empty. A premonition of ill spread within. He felt another's pangs of wretched anxiety filling him, familiar, yet alienated, alone.
Mother?
He trotted around behind the lodge, peering into the brush to see if she had simply gone to relieve herself. No trace.
Mother!
Sleeping Fur stepped out from inside her lodge.
Hush! People are sleeping here.
Mother!
Here, come take my hand and we'll find her. No sense in alarming the whole camp.
The Bear Dash smiled uneasily, eyes searching the quiet lodges. Not quite placated, Little Dancer reached up and placed his hand in his friend's.
We'll find her?
We'll find her.
Together they searched, circling the perimeter of the camp, finding nothing. The trails had been used until the dust had been beaten into a fine powder. The only tracks consisted of blurred images. A sudden flood of desperation caught Little Dancer completely unaware. The world seemed to slip sideways. Suddenly dizzy, he leaned forward, clutching his stomach while his legs turned rubbery beneath him.
Little Dancer, what's wrong? What's...
An utterly hopeless feeling possessed him for a moment before final desperation took over. He could feel her, feel the movements of her hands as she took the cool stone and...
No!
As quickly, the feeling of dislocation passed. Completely drained, he came to, staring at the vomit-spattered earth before him. An abyss, endless as the wind, opened inside him. Loss whirled about his mind. Disoriented, he struggled to find his breath, the feeling that of having been kicked in the chest.
Take a deep breath. Just breathe easily. Don't be afraid. It's just the fear, the worry that's gotten to you.
Two Smokes knelt beside him. Strong, warm hands supported his wretched body as he raised his head. The world looked washed out, as if seen through a film of water. The colors didn't appear as bright. The air felt sluggish and half alive. Even Father Son's light had lost its fire, becoming pallid and weak.
Mother! Come back! Come back to me!
Now, little one, we don't...
Little Dancer fought to get his feet under him, Two Smokes supporting him as his balance wavered.
She's dead!
She's probably just gone to...
No, I felt her die! I felt her!
Please, little one, don't go imagining all the...
Stop it! Stop it! She's dead! I know!
You're being crazy!
The Bear Dash stopped short, frozen by the look Little Dancer gave him.
You know, don't you? I've seen it in your eyes. You know I feel things. I hear things most people don't. I heard the antelope at the kill site. I called them. I did that. In a dream, Two Smokes. I called them in a power dream. And Heavy Beaver killed my mother. He drove the wolf bundle away. He killed Dancing Doe's baby. And then he killed her. He's evil. He's bad and wicked.
Two Smokes went pale, dropping on his knees to stare into Little Dancer's eyes.
Shh! Quiet, little one! You're already in trouble. Heavy Beaver's a powerful man. He can do anything he wants, and no one will say anything. You must hold your tongue. Will you, for me? You know he'll hurt me. He's just waiting for his time.
Little Dancer stared uncertainly at him, while his mind reeled, feeling ill to the depths of his tormented soul.
I hate him. I'm going to kill him. Hear me, Heavy Beaver! I'm going to kill you!
Two Smokes clamped a hand over his mouth, peering fearfully back the way they'd come.
Hush! Never say that, never. Your life is a dart's cast away from dead as it is. Promise me you won't say that again. Promise me! And then we'll go find your mother and I'll show you how silly your idea is that she's dead.
Little Dancer stared at him, anger and grief churning. Deliberately, he raised his arm, pointing.
She's over there.
Then let's go see. And maybe on the way I can talk some sense into your little head.
Two Smokes offered his hand. Beyond caring, Little Dancer refused it and walked past with a miserable purpose. Tears continued to leak down his face. Periodically, he stopped to drag a filthy sleeve across his eyes to clear his blurry vision. Images of her formed in his mind. She smiled at him. In the firelight of a warm lodge, her face reflected love and concern. Her gentle hands soothed him, healed his hurts. Her expression lit as she told him a story or watched as he ate the broth she gave him. A light had flickered out in his soul. Only blackness remained. The old cottonwood had blown down years before. Seasons of rain and wind had scoured the bark from the underlying wood. Since then, the bright, plain sun had bleached the smooth wood silver white. Where the heavy trunk forked into two thick branches, sage root had stopped. She lay propped there, cradled by the bones of the tree. Her head had fallen back, exposing her face to the morning sun. She looked tired and vulnerable. Beside her, her worn butchering bag lay open. On the ground, a black obsidian core lay canted to one side. Sunlight sparkled from the vitreous ripples where flakes had been driven off. A small quartzite hammerstone rested beside the core. Flies already rose in a gossamer buzzing column over the rich wealth of her blood, where it pooled in the skirts of her dress. A hard hand clapped Little Dancer on the shoulder, trying to pull him back.
Go back to camp, now. You don't...
She cut her wrists, Two Smokes. I felt it. That's when I got sick. She cut her wrists and left me here all alone. Why did she die? Why did she leave me here? I need her, Two Smokes. I need her to hold me.
Let's go back now.
It didn't hurt. The obsidian was so sharp, she just knocked off a flake, cut her wrists open, and she died. Two Smokes, why is the world so mean to us?
The hand on his shoulder began to pull him inexorably back. They'd stopped moving, Two Smokes holding him, crushing him tightly in a shared embrace. Through the smoke hole of his lodge, Heavy Beaver could see a blue patch of morning sky. He hadn't slept well. Like a wraith from the fog, his mother's ghost had lurked in the shadows of his dreams. Even now, years after her death, he missed her with an open longing in his soul.
You've been chosen, Heavy Beaver. That's why you're different. The spirits have singled you out for special things. That's why you don't fit. That's why the other boys tease you and play tricks. They're jealous. They can see how special you are, and they don't like it. That's the way of great men, always shunned by their inferiors. You'll see, you'll rise above them all one day.
If all women had those same intelligent and sensitive abilities to see clearly, the world would be a better place. He wouldn't have to fight so hard to put the people on the right path. His mother's death had almost killed him. Only the knowledge that he had power had kept him sane through those first hard days. But no one recognized his power. No one except his mother and Red Chert had seen and understood his abilities. Today, the discipline his mother had instilled in him would bear fruit. He'd seen the look in Sage Root's eyes last night. Such a piece of luck that Dancing Doe had run onto Long Runner's dart. Until then, Sage Root might have withstood his machinations despite the Datura. To have stolen the menstrual pad from the Women's Bleeding Lodge had been fortuitous. Idly, he wondered whose it had been. A chance gust of wind had carried it out where he could find it. Of course, he'd had to pick it up with sticks to keep from fouling himself. The whole idea of a woman bleeding once a month disgusted him. In all his memory, he couldn't remember his mother bleeding like that. But then, she'd been special. He stretched and crawled across to peer through the slit where he'd cut Red Chert's fine stitching of the lodge cover. The bundle no longer hung from the lodge pole. She'd found it. In his mind, he began composing the speech he'd give over Sage Root's body.
Antelope above dances across the sky with joy that the people have killed the defiler.
People listened when he made up stories about his dreams. Then, when the days grew tedious, he'd walk up on the ridgetops and sit and watch the sky and think up new stories to tell them. Bit by bit, he'd learned the role. He knew how to get that faraway look in his eyes, how to modulate his voice. They'd listen, eyes downcast, and accept. Now only the old ones scoffed. The worse the drought got, the more skittish the animals, the better the people listened. Already the younger hunters had started to berate their wives and exclude them from the hunting councils. That had put most of the women in their places. Some, like Hungry Bull, continued to ignore him. But Hungry Bull would learn to his dismay. How fortunate that that fiery young man had decided to go on a long hunt. One less barrier to overcome. Not to mention the fear of a dart in the back. No telling how Hungry Bull might have reacted to his wife being cursed. Now he'd return to an empty lodge. Everything would be finished. And if Sage Root dug up some final resistance, Heavy Beaver had the Datura witching plant he'd obtained from the trader Three Rattles. Heavy Beaver had used most of it in Sage Root's stew. Distracted as she was, she'd eaten the whole thing. What he had left would finish her.
Such a shame to waste so desirable a woman this way.
She stood in the way, however, and he would remake the people the way his mother would have wanted. Like a fire, his new way would sweep them up and burn a new path across the plains. He crawled over to his shirt, shrugging it on. Then he pulled on the fine calfskin breeches made by Sleeping Fur.
Mother!
That little undisciplined pup of Sage Root's. Heavy Beaver's heart leapt. By the time he ducked out of the lodge, the little brat had been silenced. Heavy Beaver caught a sight of the wretched Anita leading the lad down one of the trails. Today, once Sage Root had been removed as an obstacle, he could deal with the Berdash. He'd egged the young men into waylaying the Anita, explaining that degrading rape could be permitted against a thing like Two Smokes. Before the sun dipped below the western horizon, Two Smokes would be driven off, or dragged away with his brains bashed out. By tonight, the people would be clean of pollutions and defilements like that. What a blessing that the Anita had stolen the wolf bundle and given him the perfect lever to use against the Berdash. Heavy Beaver's only regret was being denied the glory of burning the witch thing in the fire, while he sang and danced to awe the people with his power over the Anita magic. On the way to relieve himself, Heavy Beaver stopped near Sage Root's lodge to see the bit of menstrual pad where the breeze had blown it into the brush. Drying maggots writhed in death where they lay scattered in the dust. White Calf led the way down the long ridge. The pain in her hip nagged at her. Too much hurry. Her old body couldn't take such a pace anymore. Behind her, the three hunters trotted easily, chests hardly rising and falling.
To be young again.
Black Crow pointed in the growing light of morning.
There. That's where the camp is. Where the river runs straight.
White Calf turned her steps, but not before she'd caught the strained look in Hungry Bull's face. It seemed he felt it too.
Time's short. Let's go.
Short?
Something in the wind. Spirits loose. Has been for the last 4 days. Now listen, I don't know what's doing in the boiling pouch, but the vision is calling. Whatever it is, I want to handle it.
The men glanced back and forth, eyes expressing their growing unease. Hungry Bull started to rush ahead, only to have White Calf reach for him. Her taloned fingers sank into his flesh.
Don't go balky on me now like some moonstruck buffalo calf in a lightning storm. This is spirit power, understand? Now let me worry about it.
I've got to go. I can feel it. I've got to go.
I want your promise. On your soul, let me handle it.
On my soul. I don't like messing with spirit power. I don't want anything to do with it. But we've got to go.
Good. Then trust me. I take your promise. On your soul.
White Calf wheeled, putting her old legs to work again.
I hope we're not too late.
Little Dancer's limbs felt detached, the way they did in a strange dream. The morning might have been imagined, unreal, something he couldn't really touch or hear or smell. He'd become no more than a husk with nothing within, like the thin hulls the Berdash peeled from his grass seeds to blow away on the wind.
We've got to take her back.
Little Dancer didn't feel the Berdash's arms drop away. He stared fixedly into eternity. Two Smokes pulled Sage Root's limp body from the cottonwood, struggling to prop it on the smooth wood so he could get a grip on the sagging flesh. Little Dancer barely noticed the pain reflected in Two Smokes' face as his mother's weight fell on his crippled leg. He looked back at the crimson-stained log. There, behind it, he saw the black wolf. The animal stood motionless, ears raised, watching. A prickling of power traced along the nape of Little Dancer's neck, his eyes locked with the beast's, joining, twining their souls. The path back couldn't have been more than 3 long dart casts, but Two Smokes staggered by the time they entered the camp clearing. A pain pierced Little Dancer's heart as Two Smokes reeled and let go of his mother. Two Smokes collapsed next to her. His teeth sank deeply into his lower lip as his face contorted in response to the pain in his maimed leg. Little Dancer stood mutely, eyes locked on his mother's body, while Two Smokes ran anxious hands down his stiff leg. The Berdash's hair looked wet and sticky, while sweat stained the finely worked leather of his dress where it clung to his back.
She's dead!
In the haze of his numb mind, Little Dancer didn't recognize the voice. He only vaguely noticed the people as they came to stare. Heavy Beaver pushed his way through the press to stand above Sage Root's body. The spirit dreamer raised his hands to the morning sky, his moon face flushed hot, alight with triumph.
So the moment has come. Let no one doubt the power of my dreaming. Look! Look before you, my people. See the cleansing of the pollution. Look to the skies and see Antelope above rejoicing in the justice meted out to the woman who defiled his children.
Little Dancer stared up at the morning. He looked again, harder, seeing nothing but emptiness in the air where Heavy Beaver pointed. Wrongness soured the air around him. He'd heard the antelope. Remembered the oneness of the dream. He'd shared the taste of sage in their mouths, frolicked and felt their worry. When he looked at Heavy Beaver, he saw nothing, felt nothing but unease and a curious sense of being cheated.
You lie. You see nothing but what's in your head. You don't know the oneness. You can't feel the power around you. You're a deceiver. A thief.
Heavy Beaver wheeled, black eyes gloating.
From now on, boy, you'll live with me. You've been tainted by pollution. I can see it hiding in your soul. An evil lies within you. An evil which must be beaten, burned, and driven out of your soul if it is to be saved from Anita's sorcery.
No!
Two Smoke started to stand and face the spirit dreamer. Heavy Beaver turned.
And you, Anita, you're a worse pollution than anyone. You're a monster. You offend everything normal in the world. A man who loves men and dresses as a woman, you're a vile pustule. From this moment, I banish you for the evil you are. Get out! Get away from the people! Now, leave us! And if you ever come back, it's to receive the cleansing death you deserve.
Two Smokes pulled his good leg under him, starting to rise again.
No, you don't understand!
Heavy Beaver kicked him in the maimed knee. Little Dancer's sanity collapsed under a rush of hatred. Rabid, he flew at Heavy Beaver.
Little Dancer, no!
Pain and grief spurred him, but the man's heavy body defied him. A hand caught in his shirt, lifting. Lights blasted through Little Dancer's brain. A ringing filled his ears.
No!
See? See what this pollution has done? See how he's turned that poor little boy into an animal? We allow the evil into our midst, and you ask why rain doesn't fall, why the grass doesn't grow thick and green for buffalo? How could any worthy spirit send Cain to a people who harbor an offense like this?
Curse you, Heavy Beaver! Haven't you done enough? Now you'll add torture to—
Silence, old woman! You're part of this! Someone remove her! Take her away before she angers the spirit powers!
As breath rushed back into his starved lungs, Little Dancer's vision clouded with unrestrained tears. Blood ran from his nose. Heavy Beaver had thrown him down so hard that everything hurt.
So, you haven't left, Berdash. Then you've made your choice. The evil ends here. Someone bring me a club! Today, we'll all sing the end of our pollution. Together, we'll sing the lingering taint of the Berdash away. With our voices united, we'll call the spirit powers to see how we've cleansed the people. Then the rains will come. Then the buffalo will return.
Cleansed with my blood! By murder!
Little Dancer's heart froze. He dragged his sleeve across his eyes to clear the tears. Heavy Beaver loomed over Two Smokes, a flush of excitement reddening his flat features. Two Smokes huddled on the ground, slowly shaking his head in disbelief. His hands were raised, empty, beseeching. Little Dancer pulled himself forward on abused muscles until he reached the entrance to his lodge. There, inside, the old familiar furnishings brought no solace.